In February 2015, Jordan's King Abdullah II ordered the execution of Sajida al-Rishawi, a failed suicide bomber from Jordan's deadliest terrorist attack a decade earlier. This execution marked the culmination of a terrifying legacy that began in a remote desert prison and evolved into ISIS, the most feared terrorist organization on Earth. The mastermind behind that original attack was Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a figure who would transform from an obscure Jordanian criminal into the architect of modern jihadism. His organization's black flags would eventually fly over territory larger than many countries, inspiring terror across continents. How did a high school dropout with a criminal past create the precursor to what would become the world's most notorious terrorist organization? The answer lies in a journey that begins in Jordan's notorious Al-Jafar prison, winds through Afghanistan's training camps, and culminates in the blood-soaked streets of Iraq. Inside Jordan's Al-Jafar prison, two men formed a partnership that would reshape terrorism. Abu Muhammad al-Maqdisi was the scholarly radical whose writings declared Arab leaders worthy of death. His enforcer was Ahmad Fadil al-Halaleya, al-Zarqawi, a physically imposing high school dropout who controlled inmates with just his gaze. Under Maqdisi's guidance, Zarqawi transformed his street thug rage into religious devotion, memorizing the Quran while nurturing hatred for Jordan's monarchy. Zarqawi was a study in contrasts. He ruled Islamist prisoners harshly, condemning them for missed prayers or watching shows with unveiled women. Yet, he showed unexpected tenderness, writing flowery letters to his mother and helping a double amputee inmate to the toilet. Released in King Abdullah's March 1999 amnesty, he proved his dedication by returning to minister to remaining inmates the next dawn. The prison doctor observed, "Here was a real leader. This man was going to end up either famous or dead." Colin Powell's 2003 UN speech inadvertently elevated Zarqawi from obscurity by claiming his ties to Saddam Hussein, despite Zarqawi operating in Kurdish territory beyond Hussein's control. As Islamist Hassan Abu Haniya observed, "Before anyone knew who he was, here was the Secretary of State of the world's most powerful government saying Zarqawi was important." Post-invasion, CIA analyst Nada Bakos investigated bombings targeting the Jordanian embassy, UN headquarters, and Najaf's Imam Ali Mosque. Her team confirmed Zarqawi's involvement, concluding that this was no longer a victory, it was a frickin' nightmare. Zarqawi masterfully exploited Iraq's sectarian divisions. His March 2004 bombings of Shiite pilgrims in Baghdad and Karbala killed nearly 180 people, with Iraqis blaming American occupiers, exactly as he planned to undermine U.S. forces while stoking sectarian tensions. His most notorious act came in May 2004 when he personally beheaded American Nicholas Berg, who had ignored warnings about traveling to Iraq, in a viral video. This established Zarqawi as bin Laden's rival in notoriety and launched his organization Al-Tawheed wal Jihad, Unity and Jihad. Iraq's January 30, 2005 elections became a battleground between democracy and Zarqawi's terror campaign. After bin Laden condemned polls as an apostasy against Allah, Zarqawi worked to prevent Sunni participation through intimidation. U.S. Embassy political officer Robert Ford struggled to convince Sunni politicians to run as candidates were systematically targeted and killed. Tariq al-Hashimi of the Iraqi Islamic Party refused to participate, stating simply, "We're not going to get ourselves killed." Despite warnings that proceeding would create a heavily lopsided Shiite Kurdish government, President Bush maintained the election schedule. While millions voted, Sunni areas largely boycotted. Anbar province saw just 2% participation. Zarqawi had succeeded in deepening sectarian divisions through Sunni disenfranchisement. Analysis of Zarqawi's captured laptop revealed his strategic vision. CIA profilers identified him as a narcissist who imagined himself as an ancient Islamic warrior. When Al-Qaeda leadership worried his brutality damaged their reputation, Zarqawi responded by declaring all-out war on the Shiites. His tactics attracted 100 to 150 jihadist recruits monthly. As Bakos noted, people think he's hurting Al-Qaeda's brand. The truth is, he's helping his own brand because he's winning. Task Force 626, led by General Stanley McChrystal, uncovered Zarqawi's sophisticated network for deploying suicide bombers. From their situational awareness room with live drone feeds, they relentlessly attacked AQI, eliminating 20 of 21 senior deputies by fall 2005. The November 9, 2005 suicide bombings of three hotels in Amman prompted Jordan's King Abdullah to join the offensive, deploying intelligence teams to work with American special forces in Iraq. Zarqawi's most devastating attack came in February 2006, the bombing of the Al-Askari Mosque's Golden Dome in Samarra. Though the blast caused no direct casualties, it sparked sectarian violence that killed over 1,300 people within days. The hunt for Zarqawi culminated when intelligence led them to his spiritual advisor and eventually to Zarqawi himself. After an F-16 airstrike, Delta Force found him mortally wounded, conscious just long enough to meet American eyes before succumbing to his injuries. By 2011, the Islamic State of Iraq was nearly destroyed. Sunni militias had expelled foreign jihadists, while Bush's troop surge flooded Iraq with soldiers. The CIA declared Al-Qaeda in Iraq near strategic defeat before American forces departed in December 2011. The new leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, took over an organization stripped of resources, fighters, and purpose, but would find all these in revolutionary Syria. Though physically unremarkable, his religious scholarship commanded respect among jihadists. His transformation occurred at Camp Buka Detention Facility, where he built crucial networks before being released in 2004 when officials underestimated his threat. Baghdadi's strengths lay in two areas: his ability to religiously justify extreme violence and his credibility as a potential caliph through his lineage and scholarship. He strategically positioned himself as divinely chosen, sending emissaries to Syria in 2011 to establish his future caliphate. In Raqqa, ISIS established control through public executions and strict religious rules, banning Western influences and enforcing mandatory observances. They closed schools for religious indoctrination and sent orphan children to military camps for weapons training. ISIS's June 2014 offensive brought swift victories. They captured Mosul, seizing bank reserves and U.S. weapons, freed Sunni prisoners, and executed hundreds of Shiites, Kurds, and Christians. By month's end, ISIS controlled territory larger than Israel and Lebanon combined, amassing nearly $500 million. At Mosul's Great Mosque, Baghdadi declared the caliphate's restoration, meticulously mimicking Muhammad's final sermon, from his black attire to using a miswak stick. Despite claims of humility, he demanded worldwide Muslim allegiance as Islamic State leader. The burning of Jordanian pilot Muaf al-Kasasbeh marked a turning point. This act violated fundamental Islamic principles, drawing condemnation from religious scholars and former allies. Jordan's King Abdullah responded with extensive airstrikes. This new terror organization, born in Jordan's prisons, hardened in Iraq's sectarian violence, combined medieval brutality with modern media expertise. Zarqawi's vision of black flags over Jerusalem had materialized, creating a self-perpetuating cycle of chaos.